John chapter 3, verse 16. You may know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. We have a promise, and we have really a threat of punishment, that we can either have everlasting life or we can have condemnation. The Lord gave us a plan of salvation, and that plan must be followed without exception. You may be seated. Most of us want to be the exception to the rule. Someone that is not included in the rule or doesn't have to behave in an expected way is called the exception. I'm special, so I don't have to do what everyone else has to do. I want to make it very clear today that anyone can be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That there is no sin too deep. There is no life too far gone. There are no habits too strong. There is no background too rough. That God cannot reach you where you are and pull you out of your sin and pull you up into a right relationship with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Anyone can be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because that is true, no one can be saved without it. There is no one so bad that the gospel cannot save them. And there is no one so good that they cannot be saved without it. Without exception, everyone can be saved. And without exception, everyone must be saved by the power of God, meaning that you cannot save yourself. There are no exceptions, and there are no exemptions. I want to refresh you today on our mission as a church. This church and God's church in the earth is commissioned to reach lost people everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That mandate is meaningless if you don't believe that people are lost without God. If you're sitting here today and you don't really believe that your coworker, your neighbor, your family member is condemned to an eternity away from God, if you do not believe in the reality of hell and that people will go there, then the mandate is meaningless. Why go everywhere and tell everyone about the good news if you don't really believe there's bad news? Everyone can be saved, but everyone must be saved, and you cannot save yourself. Benjamin Franklin once wisely said that there are two things that are certain in life: death and taxes. And the Bible says something a little different than that. There are two realities. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's something worse than taxes, and it's called the judgment of God. That all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will stand in judgment and held accountable for the word of God that we knew in our lives, or we should have known if we would have chosen to know it. You see, our right to life, to exist as a church, is that we lead people to eternal life. And if we cease to function as a body of believers who lead people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have degenerated into an organization that is no different than any other in our culture. The church has one mission, and that is to find lost people and bring them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If God's church, if this church or any church you may attend cannot get you from here to heaven, then it doesn't deserve to be called a church. Amen. Much like Noah's Ark, there's really only one question that matters. Well, I know if you had looked at Noah's Ark, you might have wanted to know how many floors are there, and is there enough food for all the animals, and you might have wondered if you had a suite with the window. There was only one window in the ark, one door. But there is really only one question that mattered for Noah and his family. What they wanted to know is that when the rain comes and the floods rise, will this boat float in a flood? Nothing else matters about this ark but that it will save us from the judgment of God. And that's the only thing that matters about the message we preach. When the world's on fire, when hell opens its mouth, will I be saved? Will I enjoy heaven? Will this church save me? Will this gospel set me free from my sins? Will this boat float in a flood? Will this doctrine that I believe save me? I thank the Lord for the ethical principles of the scriptures. We live a more abundant life because we live by the Bible. But the abundant life here and now only isn't worth it. Paul said if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we would be above all men most miserable. But now we have hope beyond this life. We have the hope of heaven. Because we do, that means we have purpose for living now. You know, people critique churches like a consumer mentality. Like, did a golf cart pick you up in the lower lot today? Are you greeted by genuinely kind and friendly people at the door? Is the thermostat okay today? Does it suit you? Someone's always cold and someone's always hot. Were the restrooms neat and clean? Are they commodious for you? Did the children's ministry team entertain and educate your child? Would you find that out when you leave today? Is your seat comfortable? Is the cushion all right? Is it wide enough for you? Could you read the lyrics on the screen? Were they sharp and clear? Did you enjoy the singing? Was the sound too loud for you? And did the speaker get off to a slow start in his message? Please let us know how we're doing. Seriously, we want to do really everything right. But the church is designed for one thing. It is designed to help pull you out of sin into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. The church exists as a vehicle to get you away from hell and to heaven. That's our single purpose in the earth. We hope we do a lot of other things that you like. But if you've got to endure a rough sawhorse bitch, if you've got to endure sawdust on the floor like they did in the old tent revivals, if it will deliver you from sin, if it will save your soul from hell, then thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for a church that preaches a message that will save my soul when the world's on fire. You see, when the Lord comes back for His church around the world, the Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain faithful to the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our promise. And the rapture of the church comes at catching away. There'll be some people that go to heaven in fine snakeskin boots, and some will go barefooted in some developing country. Some will go to heaven from mansions, and some will go from a grass hut or a tin shed in a barrio in South America. Some will go to heaven from a high rise set aside for elite wealthy people. And some will go to heaven from a slum. There'll be a small minority that speak English and a whole lot that do not. There'll be some white folk that go up and more that are not. But when that trumpet sounds, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, young or old, whether you live in free America or in communist China. The most important thing in the world is that you are ready for the coming of the Lord. That is what matters. We think of the blessed life as finances and accumulation, but it doesn't matter what you accumulate in this life. The Bible said, what is it profited if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? I'm here preaching the fundamental purpose for this church and every church to exist, to preach a message that doesn't just tickle your ears or make you feel better, but to make you be better, to change you from a sinner to a saint, to take you out of the power of darkness and translate you into a kingdom of light. That is why we are a church. There's three fundamental issues that kind of explain this. Man's problem, God's solution, man's responsibility. You see, all of us are sinners. That's our problem. And sin separates us from God. Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah, speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus, said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Which, by the way, the essence of sin is not something you smoke or something you drink or something you do. It's something you are. It is a self-willed person who says, no one will tell me what to do, and I will not come under anyone's authority. I will not do what the Bible says. I'm going to run my life. We turn everyone to his own way. That is the essence of sin. It leads to rebellion against God and to unrighteous acts. But at the heart of sin, it is self-will. That's why really kind of good citizen people can still be sinners just as much as someone that is in debauchery. Because sin is a nature that can only be changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We die physically at some point when our body is separated from our spirit. Cessation of respiration and brain waves. We call it physical death. We're declared dead. But we're spiritually dead when our sins separate us from God. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and sinned against God, they continued breathing Adam for hundreds of years, literally, but he died that day spiritually. The third dimension of death is eternal death, when that separation of your body and spirit from God's spirit is made eternal in a burning lake of fire. The Bible said, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. But all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Calvary was God's solution. God had an answer for our sin. It wasn't something we could do to get good enough to get God. But it was God coming down to us to offer himself as a sinless sacrifice, as a substitution for our sin. He saved us when we didn't deserve it. He purchased us with his own blood, the Bible said. You were not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. God reached a long way down to find us. No matter how far he reached down to us, At some point in your life, you've got to take responsibility for your salvation and reach up to Him. The Bible said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Bible said to feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He is knowable and you can find Him. The agnostic does not find Him because the agnostic says, maybe He is, maybe He isn't. I don't know if there's a God or not. Unlike the atheist who said there is no God, the agnostic says He's not knowable. You cannot know. But the believer takes responsibility to seek Him and find Him. And you can if you will. You see, you've got to exercise saving faith to accept and apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. The Bible gave us God's simple plan of salvation. When you look at how the scriptures culminate in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that we speak a lot about here, it makes so much sense that from the foundation of the world, God established patterns of death, burial, resurrection. He established a pattern of blood sacrifice. He established a pattern of innocent for the guilty. All throughout the Old Testament, it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And when these men and women recognized that they were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is without exception God's plan of salvation in 2018. There is no plan B because one is not needed. God is sovereign and He is smart. Why would God create a plan B if plan A was successful, if it was sufficient? The Bible said that there is no more sacrifice for sins other than the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved than by Jesus Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, why would it be necessary for me to talk about this today? Well, you see, you know, the people all around you every day say they're saved, but another way. Say they're okay with God, although they've never really turned from their sins of repentance. They've never identified with the burial of Jesus Christ by being baptized in water. They've never been changed, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they just are, in their own religion, a self-made version of something God never created. 2016, survey of hundreds of people, three quarters of millennials and a third of practicing Christians said that morality is based solely on personal feelings. That's the spirit of our country and of modern Europe and many places in the world. That it's how I see it, not as God said it. I will read into the Bible what I want it to say that is convenient for me, rather than letting the Bible speak for itself. That is the essence of man-made religion. And by the way, it goes all the way back to the beginning when Abel brings a more excellent sacrifice, one that pleases God, a blood sacrifice. It is after the kind of sacrifice that God gave in the Garden of Eden when He shed blood and provided skins to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. But Cain's sacrifice to God, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, is a man-made religion, offering to God what I want to give Him, what I have produced, rather than what God requires. If you don't know that story, start on page 1 and read a few chapters and you'll get it. It's right there. This poll said that 57% of people said whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth that you can know. My truth. Subjective truth. The way my families always said it. The tradition in which I was raised. It's a sad thing that 65% of U.S. adults surveyed, I'm sure that's not everyone, agreed that every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for their culture. That's why in America, we can create a law that makes sin legal, but it will never make it moral. I know that may not have dawned on you, but we can legalize same-sex marriage, but we can't moralize same-sex marriage. We can legalize what the Bible condemns, but no matter how much we condone it, you've got to ask the question, will this boat float in a flood? Will this position of what I believe about truth, will it hold up in the judgment of God? That's ultimately the only thing that matters. It's ironic that people believe that and then they turn around and say that they believe that the Bible gives us absolute moral truths, which are the same for all people in all situations without exception. That's the contradiction of our world. I believe, but then my practice is different than my theory. I know what I'm supposed to believe, but I don't live that because it's never, ever convenient. You see, moral relativism compared to biblical absolutes is really the issue I'm talking about today. If you can be saved by a way, your way, or by any church anywhere, then that's okay. But what is at stake here is your soul. You can say that this preacher, Mike Darrell Johns, that I am being judgmental and I am trying to say that people are lost and they're going to hell outside this message. Let me tell you, while that may sound harsh, what is most harsh is for me to stand here knowing the solution and not tell you the answer from God's word. That is the most despicable thing to do ever. Hate speech is not telling the truth. Hate speech is withholding the truth when you know it. That is the greatest hate that you can impose on people. Everybody okay? Just telling you, it's without exception, God gave us a plan that will work for anyone and everyone, but no other way will work. There are simply no exceptions. Being good, simply believing in God, having your own sincere view, what you call sincere, will not get it done by yourself. You see, the Bible gives us examples of very sincere people who were sent a word to give them further instruction. An official of the Ethiopian government in the Bible had been to Jerusalem to worship. He's riding home in a chariot, reading a Jewish version of the Bible, a piece of scripture that would have been very hard to come by, a scroll of Isaiah 53, how we catalog it nowadays. And he's reading there about he's as a lamb before his shearers. He's a lamb led to the slaughter, and he's wondering who this is talking about, himself or another man. And God tells Philip, a preacher, to leave a revival in Samaria, go down, and he joins himself to the chariot, and he begins where he is. He always starts where the person is, and he tells him about Jesus Christ. They're riding along. He's going back to Ethiopia. He's very sincere. He's walking in all the light he knows, but just walking in the light you have will not save you if it is not all the light there is. If you walk in the light you know, God will give you more light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, more light will come. He tells him. The man says, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Fast forward a couple chapters, Acts chapter 10. A man named Cornelius, he prays all the time. He gives money to people. He's seeking God. An angel appears to him And the angel doesn't tell him how to be saved. The angel says, send for a preacher who will tell you how to be saved. God's plan is that human lips tell people how to be saved. That's why some of you need to open your mouth to your friends and your co-workers, because God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching, of saying it. The gospel is good news that has to be told. Let me pause here long enough to say that you can live it all you want, but you've eventually got to say it. It is the words of the gospel that sets people free. Live it. Please live it. But also please say it. Tell them. Peter sees a vision. He comes to Cornelius' house. He tells him words whereby he must be saved. He receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. He is baptized in Jesus' name. Fast forward, Acts chapter 19, believers in Jesus Christ by the preaching of John the Baptist. All they know is turn from your sins of repentance, be baptized under repentance, believe on the coming Messiah, and they are sincerely living by all the light they have. But the Apostle Paul walks into their life and he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's good that you believe, but there's more for you, and you should go after what God shows you in His Word. How are you baptized? John's baptism? We're followers of John the Baptist. Well, that was great that you're sincere, but let me tell you, without exception, there's more for you. It's not enough to just love God. You've got to love God and love the truth of God's Word. You will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will make you free. Go ahead and love God with a pure heart fervently, but obey this book and be saved. They believed, they were baptized. When the Apostle Paul laid his hands on them, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues, a language they never learned, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak, just like it happened on the very first day, the birthday of the church. Amen. Amen. Without exception, everyone who has ever been saved since that first birthday of the church has been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They recognized they were sinners. They saw Calvary as their only solution for their sin. They exercised saving faith by believing, by accepting and applying the gospel of Jesus Christ to their lives. And when they did, it changed their life forever. And if you will turn your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, He will save your soul now and in eternity. You see, the gospel in its essence is outrageously offensive. It tells you, tells me, you are a sinner. You know to be good, but you know you're not good. You try, but you fail because you cannot save yourself. And God knows you can't. And that's why He came to this earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a clear message of the Bible. You see, the Bible is very plain. Jesus was clear to say, I am the way. Not a way. I read it to you in the beginning of my message that the Lord never intended for Jesus to come to condemn the world. We were already condemned. But here's how condemnation comes. Condemnation comes when you hear a message like this, and the light of knowledge and understanding comes to you, and you reject it. And when you reject the truth of God's word that the Bible likens to light, then you have no choice but to walk into darkness. You either walk toward light or away from light. Daily in your life, even you apostolic people, when the Lord shows you something you know about serving Him and you ignore it, you're turning away from light and walking toward darkness. Jesus came to give life, and life more abundant. And as a church, our mission is to declare the truth to lost people so that their souls can be saved from hell. Amen. Let me ask you a question today. If your life ended before midnight tonight, where would you spend eternity? And if you believe that you will spend eternity in heaven, what is your basis for believing that? Is your basis something you believe? Or is something the Bible teaches? And if you believe what the Bible teaches, then that's the right answer. Amen. But if you believe something less, the Bible said, if you preach another message or you believe another gospel, the Bible is very clear about this in Galatians, let him be accursed. There is one way, and it works for everyone. And it will work for you today. Would you bow your heads right now? Jesus, we're staring into the face of an uncertain future. Men and women today sitting in this room, we're not in a right relationship with you. Lord, you gave your life for our sins. And the blood that you shed on the cross was sufficient payment. We don't need another sacrifice. Our good works will not save us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash us from our sins. So today, Lord, I believe, Lord, I accept Calvary as the only solution for my sins. The only provision that you've ever given, God. I accept it today. I pray, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Would you lift your voice and pray right now? And I would like for everyone, whether you consider yourself a seasoned saint or you know you're a sinner, would you pray right now? And I want you to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. That's right. Come face to face with the truth of God's word. And without exception, would everyone pray right now? Everyone, no matter whether you're a charter member of Atlanta West or a first-time guest. This is not about this church. This is about your relationship with Almighty God. This is not about how much you're comfortable right now. This is about how comfortable you're going to be in eternity. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we would pull someone out of the fire today. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name right now, would you pray right now? Really pray. You know that there's sin in your life, and if you'll ask Him to forgive you, He will. But you've got to ask Him. You've got to turn from darkness to light. If you've been lying and justifying it, ask God to forgive you for lying right now. If you've been committing immoral acts, the Bible teaches against that, would you ask God to forgive you right now. That's it. Ask Him to forgive you right now. If you've been struggling with pornography, would you ask Jesus to forgive you right now? If you've been stealing, would you ask God to forgive you right now? For the Bible says that thieves and liars, unbelieving people, will have their part in the lake of fire. So would you ask Him right now? Quit living a double life. Ask Jesus to forgive you right now. If you know to do good, but you're not doing it, the Bible says that is a sin. Would you ask Jesus to forgive you right now? That's it. Lift your voice right now, everyone, everywhere. Ask God to make you right with Him. Jesus. Jesus, I pray right now. I ask you, Lord, to make us white as snow. Wash me from my sins, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's it. You may feel trapped today, but if you will ask Jesus to forgive you, you will give him permission to release his power in your life. Just ask him to forgive you. You're going to know a power to come into you right now to dig you out of that pit, to set you free by the power of God. That's it. Sincerely ask Jesus right now to wash you from your sins. That's right. And if you feel you don't need to pray, you may be the biggest sinner in the house if you're self-righteous. So why don't you ask Jesus to forgive you right now? If you feel like you're the perfect saint, you probably need to pray more than the total sinner right now, that Jesus would forgive you, feeling you're better than someone else. Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. There's a spiritual surgery taking place right now. I pray it's happening in every saint's heart. I pray it's happening in every person who knows you're not right with God. I really feel like I need to say this again. Some of you feel like you're stuck, that it's too late for you, that you cannot change. But may I tell you that this room is filled with people who were bound by habits of sin and Jesus set them free. They were hopelessly lost, but Jesus miraculously delivered them. It doesn't matter what has you bound. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ can turn your life around today. Right now, if you will turn to him, that's it. Pray right out loud to him. Ask him to help you right now. Jesus. That's it. Jesus, help us right now. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to all come and pray. And no matter how hopeless you feel, or no matter how righteous you feel, I'm inviting everyone to come because we all need the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our lives. We all need a Savior. So would you stand? Bring your guests with you right now. Bring your family member with you right now. Bring your spouse with you right now. Please quickly move to this altar. Come as close as you can. Leave room in the aisles. I feel a sense of urgency here today that someone needs God right now. You desperately need the Lord. You desperately need the Lord. And he desperately loves you.